So as is the practice here in ISKCON Dallas, we shall read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita on Sunday morning. At present, we are reading Adi Lila Chapter 5, the glories of Lord Nityananda. And we have come to text 204. In this series of verses, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, is explaining how Lord Nityananda was merciful to him personally by instructing him to go to Vrindavan and by blessing him in different ways in Vrindavan. Please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 5, Text 204. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Charanaravinda Yaha Haite Painu Sri Radha Govinda. O glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained Sri Radha Govinda. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who is famous for his poetic composition known as Prarthana, has lamented in one of his prayers, "When will Lord Nityananda be merciful upon me, so that I will forget all material desires?" Srila Narottam Das Thakur confirms that unless one is freed from material desires to satisfy the needs of the body and senses, one cannot understand the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna, Vrindavan. He also confirms that one cannot understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna without going through the direction of the six Goswamis. In another verse, Narottam Das Thakur has stated that without the causeless mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one cannot enter into the affairs of Radha and Krishna. So many of you are familiar with these beautiful prayers or songs from Prarthana. Kabe, Narottam Das Thakur is asking when will Lord Nityananda be merciful to me and free me from material desires, then I will be able to enter Sri Vrindavan Dham. So the two types of desires, material and spiritual, are incompatible. Some people try to blur the distinction between material desires and spiritual desires as a way of perpetuating their pursuit of sense gratification or mental speculation. But all of our acharyas have instructed us to accept spiritual desires but give up material desires, or put in other terms, to transfer our desires from personal sense gratification to Krishna's pleasure. Here in the Adi Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author gives two definitions. One of love, priti, or prema, and the other of lust, or kama. And he says that the desire to gratify one's own senses is kama, and the desire to gratify Krishna's transcendental senses is priti, or prema. So we cannot stop desire. The impersonalists, Mayavadis and Shunyavadis, they try to deny desire, stamp out desire, extinguish desire. But that is not possible. The living being, the individual soul, by nature has desires. Now, we agree with the impersonalists that material desires lead to misery, and so we agree with them that we should become free from material desires. But their approach of negation will not work. We cannot give up something for nothing. We can give up something lesser for something greater. Just like if you have a $10 bill and someone says, give up the $10 bill, you'll say, no, why should I? But if someone says, if you give me your $10 bill, I'll give you a $100 bill, well, all right, I can do that. So we give up the lesser thing for the greater thing. We give up sense gratification and material desires for spiritual desires and transcendental happiness. And the medium by which we can give up our material attachments and become free to serve Radha and Govinda in Vrindavan is Lord Nityananda, or the mercy of Lord Nityananda. A vivid example of another recipient of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy is Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das Goswami in his earlier days, was born in an extraordinarily wealthy family in Bengal. His father and uncle, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, had a monthly income of 1,200,000 rupees then. Srila Prabhupada said they were like kings. And if you visit even their, even the remains of their estate, you can see just how, you can imagine just how opulent they were. They had a huge estate on the banks of the Ganges. They had their own boat launch, and they were like kings. And Raghunath Das Goswami, as a young lad, had the association of many great devotees. His father and uncle were Vaishnavas, and they were very generous. It is said that they were supporting the whole Brahmin community of the area. And their family priest was Yadunandan Acharya, who was a disciple of Advaita Acharya. And they invited Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur to their assembly. They would have satsangs and invite Haridas Thakur. And so Raghunath Das got the mercy of many great souls as a young man. But although he wanted to leave his family and join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could not escape. He met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and expressed his heartfelt desire to him. But Mahaprabhu said, "You return home and perform your worldly duties very expertly, and in due course, by the mercy of Krishna, you will be freed from the shackles of family life." The turning point came when Lord Nityananda came to Panihati and celebrated the Chiradahi festival. That is a wonderful story, but we do not have time to recount it now. But at the end of the festival, Raghunath Das distributed charity to Nityananda Prabhu and his immediate associates, and to all of the associates of Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu blessed him that very soon you will receive the mercy of Krishna. You will be freed from the shackles of family life, and you will join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. And he will place you under the care of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, and you will become his personal assistant. And all that Nityananda Prabhu said came true. In a similar way, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, and as a result, he attained Vrindavan and the lotus feet of Radha Govinda and so many other transcendental personalities in Vrindavan. Now, how to get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu? The mercy of Lord Nityananda is so crucial. How do we get it? Of course, Nityananda Prabhu is represented by the spiritual master. So, in broad terms, we can say that by following the instructions of the spiritual master, who is the representative of Nityananda Prabhu, one will get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, which is certainly true. But Lord Nityananda had a specific nature, or we could say a specific desire, that we should reclaim the fallen souls. Again, there is a wonderful account in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat of the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And again, I'm sure many of you know the story that Jagai and Madhai were very sinful debauchees, but in the end they were delivered by Lord Nityananda's mercy. And Nityananda Prabhu thought that if these two most degraded fallen souls are delivered, then the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the deliverer of the fallen souls, Petit Pavana, will be magnified. So he wanted to increase the glories of Lord Chaitanya. So in one class, Srila Prabhupada said, I've mentioned it before, that in order to approach Radha and Krishna, one must get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And in order to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, one must get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Raghunath Das wanted to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was successful only when he got the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And one can get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu by approaching people like Jagai and Madhai, like we did yesterday, or whenever we do Harinam Sankirtan, we do. But there are some special occasions where we can distribute a lot of mercy and get a lot of mercy, such as the St. Patrick's Day parade, the Halloween block party. So these are very precious opportunities for us to confront the fallen souls with Lord Nityananda's mercy, with the holy name, with prasad, with transcendental literature, and that pleases Lord Nityananda immensely. And when he's pleased, he gives us his mercy. Of course, it's a gradual process. It's not that we just go out once and okay, well, I approached people like Jagai and Madhai, so okay, where's the mercy? But it has to be a sustained, deliberate effort. And gradually, as you, you know, demonstrate your sincerity in that effort, Lord Nityananda will give you his mercy more and more. until finally our hearts are clean enough that we can approach Radha Govinda. Text 205. Jagai Madhe Haiti Muni Se Papishta Pushira Kita Haite Muni Se Lagishta. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, and even lower than the worms in the stool. Now, here Śrīla Kṛṣṇadāsa Kaviraj Gosvāmī is expressing abject humility, deep Vaiṣṇava humility. That is also a qualification for receiving Lord Nityananda's mercy, to be humble. When one is humble, he is a candidate for the Lord's mercy. One is proud of one's material qualifications or achievements or birth or whatever. He will not be open to Lord Nityananda's mercy. Again, as Narottam Das Thakur sings in his song, Nitai Padakamala, a Vritta Janma, that if one does not establish a relationship with Lord Nityananda, his life is useless, and his vidya kule, his knowledge and birth in a good family or a community is all useless. In fact, they are impediments. So here Kṛṣṇadāsa Kaviraj Gosvāmī is glorifying Nityananda Prabhu as extremely merciful because he delivered someone as extremely low in Kṛṣṇadāsa Kaviraj's estimation as himself. Mora namas shuneye tara punyakshaya, mora namalaya ye tara papahaya. Anyone who hears my name loses the results of his pious activities. Anyone who utters my name becomes sinful. So this is deep humility, which we cannot imitate. But that is the humility of a true Vaishnava. Narottam Das Thakur also sings, Patita Pavana Tava Hetu Avatar Mohasama Patita Prabhu Na Paibe Ara. He prays to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda that you are known as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen, and no one is more fallen than me, so you should save me first. Now this is how true Vaishnavas think and feel. But it will not help us to artificially adopt. Well, it could help. I mean, as Prabhupada said, imitation of a good thing can also be good. So if we act in a humble way, we can develop the qualities of humility. In the early days of ISKCON, Gargamuni Das, one of the first devotees to join Srila Prabhupada, saw that the devotees were bowing down in the temple, and he told Srila Prabhupada that in his heart he doesn't really feel like bowing down, but should he do it anyway? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, if you practice bowing down, the feeling will follow. Once I asked His Holiness Radhana Swami about his humility, and he said it was a matter of practice, that in the beginning he had to practice acting as a humble servant, and then eventually by practice it became natural. But the mind is so crooked and Maya is so tricky that we can become proud of our humility. We can do some humble service and become proud. Oh, you know, I'm so qualified. I have this academic qualification, I have this job, but I'm still doing menial service. Then, what is that? It's just another manifestation of pride. Once a disciple approached Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I am the most fallen. And Srila Prabhupada replied, you are not the most anything. Because he knew it was artificial. It was just a pretense. So Prabhupada just saw through it, cut through it. 207. A mana nirgrina mora kebe kripa kari. Eka Nityananda Vinu Jagat Vitare. Who in this world but Nityananda could show his mercy to such an abominable person as me? Preme Mata Nityananda Kripa Avatara Uttama Adama Kichu Nakare Vichara. Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. Ye agi padaye tare karaye nistara ata eva nistarila mohena durachara. He delivers all who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. So this is the secret of success, to fall down before Nityananda Prabhu, which is possible when one is humble. Otherwise, we'll think, why should I fall down before Nityananda Prabhu? You know, what do I need from him? You know, I'm so great as I am. Mo papishte aline shrivindavan mohena adame Dila Sri Rupa Charan. Although I am sinful and I am the most fallen, he has conferred upon me the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami. Of course, Rupa Goswami is the leader of the six Goswamis, and by the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami, one can understand the confidential pastimes of Radha and Govinda and enter into their confidential service. Shrimadana Gopala Shri Govinda Darshana Kahibara Yogya Nahe Se Sabha Katana. I am not fit to speak all these confidential words about my visiting Lord Madan Gopal and Lord Govinda. Vrindavana Purandara Shri Madan Gopala Rasavilasi Sakshat Rajendra Kumara. Lord Madan Gopal, the chief deity of Vrindavan, is the enjoyer of the Rasa dance and is directly the son of the king of Vraja. Shri Radha Lalita Sange Rasa Vilasa Manmata Manmata Rupe Yanhara Prakasha. He enjoys the Rasa dance with Srimati Radharani, Shri Lalita, and others. He manifests himself as the Cupid of Cupids. 2.14 Tesham avirabuchchori samyamana mukambuja pitambara darasragvi sakshan manmata manmataha. Wearing yellow garments and decorated with a flower garland, Lord Krishna, appearing among the gopis with his smiling lotus face, looked exactly like the charmer of the heart of Cupid. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10.32.2. Now, the striking fact in these last verses is that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is not distinguishing between the deity of Krishna and Krishna himself. He's seeing the deity as Krishna himself, as more enchanting than Cupid, as the enjoyer of the Rasa dance. And that also comes by purification and by humility. Humility comes when we no longer identify with the body. We're proud only in relation to the body and mind. Otherwise, we have nothing to be proud of. So pride comes with false identification with the body, or you could say with the material concept of life. And in the material concept of life, one sees the deity as stone or metal or wood. And that is actually an offensive mentality. But anyone who identifies with the body is bound to commit offenses. There's one verse that one who sees the devotee as made of stone or metal or wood, one who sees the spiritual master as an ordinary man, one who sees a Vaishnav as belonging to a particular community, Sanaraki Saha. He has a hellish mentality, or sometimes Srila Prabhupada says he is a resident of hell. So all of these mistakes are committed in body consciousness. We think I'm the body is real. And the deity, oh, it's just stone. Oh, why should I bow down before the deity? The deity is just stone. The spiritual master is just an ordinary human being, just like everyone else. He also has a body made of flesh and bones. Why should I bow down to him? He's just an ordinary man. And then to think of Vaishnavas in terms of the body, one can actually feel superior that, oh, these are Mlecha Vaishnavas or Yavana Vaishnavas. I'm a Brahmin Vaishnava. Indian Vaishnava or whatever. So these are all anarthas, and they have to be purified. And again, we purify them by the process of chanting and hearing. And serving the deities, serving the devotees, and preaching. Preaching means chanting and hearing, but in a way that others also hear, that others also benefit. So, because Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was purified in heart and the recipient of Lord Nityananda's mercy, he received the mercy of the deities in Vrindavan. But he wasn't seeing them as deities, as if they were different from the Lord. He was seeing Madan Gopal or Madan Mohan as Manmataha, the same Krishna as described in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Swamadurye loke ramana kare akarshana dui pashe radha lalita karena sevana. With Radha and Lalita serving him on his two sides, he attracts the hearts of all by his own sweetness. So this deity was moved, like many of the original deities in Vrindavan, is moved from Vrindavan to escape the Mughal tyrants' attacks. So he is now in Karoli. And Madan Mohan, that name, Madan Cupid, and Mohan, who attracts even Cupid, he also helps us become free of material desires. Because the basic material desire, the strongest material desire based on the body, is sex attraction, or Cupid. Cupid is synonymous with sex attraction, or Cupid is the demigod in charge of such material attraction. So Madan Mohan is so attractive that he attracts even Cupid. So if we become attracted by Madan Mohan, we will lose any attraction we have for the mundane Cupid. And this deity is like that. On one side is Srimati Radharani, and on the other side is Sri Lalita Devi. But how did Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami get that mercy? Nityananda daya more tan Rede Kaila Shri Radha Madan Mohane Prabhu Kari Dila.
The mercy of Lord Nityananda showed me Shri Madan Mohan and gave me Shri Madan Mohan as my Lord and Master. We think, well, anyone can see Madan Mohan. You just buy a ticket and go to India, go to Vrindavan. I mean, but that seeing a stone statue is not seeing Madan Mohan. But by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one can actually see Madan Mohan. And seeing Madan Mohan means being attracted to him as the enchanter of Cupid, which means losing all other mundane attraction.
Mo adame dila Sri Govinda darshana kahibara katana he akatya katana.
He granted to one as low as me the sight of Lord Govinda. Words cannot describe this, nor is it fit to be disclosed. Now there is an injunction that a devotee or Vaishnav should not disclose his personal bhajan. Now the reason is that if we tell others about our personal spiritual practices, they may be impressed and we may become proud. That's why in general devotees don't disclose their vrats, Kartik vrat or other vrats. Otherwise, oh, you're chanting so many rounds. Oh, wow, you're really great. Yeah, actually, come to think of it, I am. How many people are chanting that many rounds? I mean, yeah. And then, again, everything goes to hell. So, in general, one does not disclose his personal spiritual practice or special mercy that he has received. Because again, it can become a sort of advertisement, you know. Oh, you know, I got Nityananda's mercy. And, you know, you haven't. I see the deity as Krishna. You still see the deity as stone. So, and then the other reason we don't disclose confidential facts is that non-devotees may misunderstand and think that we're just sentimental, that it's all in our mind, it's all in our imagination. And for that reason also, some things are kept confidential. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying that these things are not fit to disclose, because they're so personal and confidential. On the one hand, if he discloses them, you know, people might think that he's great, and that would be like a disturbance to him. Or non-believers, faithless people, they might think he's just speaking nonsense. You know, that he's imagining the whole thing and it has no tangible reality outside of his mind. But he's disclosing it nonetheless because he wants to proclaim the mercy of Lord Nityananda to the world. And he's saying that Lord Nityananda's mercy is so great that he's bestowed it even on one as fallen as me. And he can say that with true conviction and realization. Not that it's true, but that is
the way he sees himself, and it's not artificial, and it can't be changed by praise or glorification. But otherwise, we do have to be careful. Now, he's discussing the darshan of Govindaji. Text 218 and 219. Vrindavane yoga pite kalpataruvane ratna mandapatahe ratna singhasane. Shri Govinda Vaisya Chena Rajendra Nandana Madhurya Prakashi Karena Jagat Mohana. On an altar made of gems in the principal temple of Vrindavan, amidst a forest of desire trees, Lord Govinda, the son of the king of Raja, sits upon a throne of gems and manifests his full glory and sweetness, thus enchanting the entire world. Vama Parsve Shri Radhaka Sakhi Gana Sange Rasadika Lila Prabhu Kare Katarange. On his left side is Srimati Radharani and her personal friends. With them, Lord Govinda enjoys the Rasa Lila and many other pastimes. Yanra Dhyana Nija Loke Kare Padmasana Ashtadakshara Mantre Kare Upasana. Lord Brahma, sitting on his lotus seat in his own abode, always meditates on him, Govinda, and worships him with the mantra consisting of 18 syllables. Purport. In his own planet, Lord Brahma, with the inhabitants of that planet, worships the form of Lord Govinda, Govinda Mahi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, Krishna, by the mantra of 18 syllables, Kling Krishnaya Govindaya Gopi Jana Vallabhaya Swaha. Those who are initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and who chant the Gayatri Mantra three times a day, know this Ashtadakshara, 18-syllable mantra. The inhabitants of Brahmaloka and the planets below Brahmaloka worship Lord Govinda by meditating with this mantra. So it is said that these three names of the Lord mentioned in the mantra, Krishna, refers to Madan Mohan, Govinda, refers to Govinda, and Gopijana Vallabha refers to Gopinath. These are the three principal deities of Vrindavan. And they help us in three different ways. Madan Mohan is the deity for Sambandha Gyan. He helps us establish our relationship with Krishna. He specifically was the deity of Srila Sanatana Goswami. And Govinda helps us act in our relationship, or Abhideya. He was the deity of Srila Rupa Goswami. And then Gopinath he is worshipped and served on the platform of prema, which is prayojana, the ultimate goal. So there is no difference between meditating and chanting. But in the present age, meditation is not passable on this planet. In other words, it may be possible in Brahmaloka, but not here. So we should not imitate. Therefore, loud chanting of a mantra, like the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, with soft chanting of the Astadashakara, the mantra of 18 syllables, is recommended. Lord Brahma lives in the highest planetary system known as Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. In every planet there is a predominating deity. As the predominating deity in Satyaloka is Lord Brahma, so in the heavenly planets Indra is the predominating deity. And on the sun god, Vivashan, is the predominating deity. The inhabitants and predominating deities of every planet are all recommended to worship Govinda, either by meditation or chanting. There's quite an elaborate discussion about meditating and chanting in Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, or between Smaranam and Kirtanam. And the conclusion is that Kirtanam is even better than Smaranam. And certainly for us, it is better and more practical. 222. Chaura bhuvane yanra sabe kare dhyana Vaikunthare puriyanya lila guna gana. Everyone in the 14 worlds meditates upon him, and all the denizens of Vaikuntha sing of his qualities and pastimes. Yanra madhurite kare lakshmi akarshana Rupa Gosani Karya Chena Se Rupa Varana. The goddess of fortune is attracted by his sweetness, which Srila Rupa Goswami has described in this way. I will just read one or two more verses. Purport. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita as quoted from the Padma Purana, where it is stated that Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, after seeing the attractive features of Lord Krishna, was attracted to him, and to get the favor of Lord Krishna, she engaged herself in meditation. When asked by Krishna why she engaged in meditation with austerity, Lakshmi Devi answered, "I want to be one of your associates like the gopis in Vrindavan." Hearing this, Lord Sri Krishna replied that it was quite impossible. Lakshmi Devi then said that she wanted to remain just like a golden line on the chest of the Lord. The Lord granted the request, and since then Lakshmi has always been situated on the chest of Lord Krishna as a golden line. The austerity and meditation of Lakshmi Devi are also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.36, where the Nagapatnis, the wives of the serpent Kaliya, in the course of their prayers to Krishna, said that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, also wanted his association as a gopi and desired the dust of his lotus feet. So these statements are very attractive and inspiring, but they can also be challenging. Because from the mundane perspective, and we are all steeped in it, especially in the Western world, and of course the Western approach is spreading everywhere, almost everywhere, that skeptical mind doubts, you know. Is this real? I mean, or are these just stories? And it's especially prominent in academic circles, and unfortunately, all the more so in the academic study of religion. And to enter the academic study of religion is very risky. I mean, unless someone is very strong and powerful and convinced and loyal, like Tamal Krishna Goswami, it can be very risky. Tamal Krishna Goswami became good friends, like his undergraduate advisor, Lonnie Cleaver. It turned out that Lonnie Cleaver was a demon. He had been aspiring to be a priest. And when he underwent the, you know, academic critical study of religion, he lost his faith. I mean, demon means, yeah, I mean, he dressed in a suit and tie, and, you know, but he was a demon. And he actually told Tamal Krishna Goswami that just as, you know, my faith, but now he's seeing it not as faith, but as illusion or sentiment, faith as sentiment. You know, just as I was freed from my illusions by the critical study of religion, you know, I'm determined to break your faith, you know, free you from the same illusion. So, I mean, how many people can withstand that type of attack? And, you know, he's like, he has a PhD, he's your professor, he's your mentor, you know. And that sort of skeptical, critical, deconstructionist approach is everywhere. The whole atmosphere is filled with it. So it's hard to hear these statements without some doubt coming in one's mind. You know, is this real? Are these just stories? Or, you know. Anyway, we're taking it on the authority of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami that they're real. And we have been blessed in ISKCON with devotees who have had realization of the absolute reality of Krishna consciousness. Now I think of Mother Kirtida right in the community here. Of course, it does come back to faith. I mean, a skeptical person could doubt even what I'm going to say. But she saw in her room Krishna and Balaram. You know, Mother Kirtida, why would she Anyway, so if you have faith in her words, which I do, well then, okay, you know, they're real. It's not just in the mind. They're real. And how did she come to the stage where she could experience that reality? She came to that stage by following the same practices that we're being advised to follow. Nothing extraordinary. Of course, she took the instructions to heart. I mean, she had great faith in her spiritual master, in the process of Krishna consciousness, in the senior devotees, and Srila Prabhupada. And she really was a selfless servant. But she didn't accept any practices that are not available to us. And in fact, she followed the same process that we're all meant to be following. But because she did it wholeheartedly, you know, without reservation, as a selfless servant, she was able to see the deity the way Krishnadas Kaviraj is speaking. One day, I actually got a phone call from her when she was close to the end. In fact, initially, the person on the line was Tamal Krishna Goswami. He was acting. I answered the phone, Goswami Maharaj. Mother Kirtita would like to speak with you. He was acting as her secretary. And Mother Kirtita had just seen a photograph of my deities, Gandharvika Giridhari, two Govardhan Shilas, Gandharvika Giridhari. And she was in ecstasy. And she wasn't seeing deities or a picture of deities. She was seeing Radha and Krishna, and she was in ecstasy. And, you know, she said, I'm seeing the deities, and they're so beautiful. And now I know why you don't want to leave Carpinteria. You have everything there. And the way the shilas are shaped, Radharani, it's just the way they are. His Holiness Hindudumya Swami helped me with them. He found too many interesting stories to tell in one class time. But yeah, he placed these two shilas next to each other. There were a number, maybe six shilas that we were considering, and he just had the idea to place the two next to each other, and he said, who do these look like? And it was obvious they were Radha and Krishna. So when one of the devotees brought a photograph of these deities to Mother Kirtida, one of them said, oh, look, it's like Srimati Radharani is melting into Krishna. And Mother Kirtida said, not melting into Krishna, she's melted. You know, she was seeing Krishna. She wasn't seeing Shilas. And, you know, a photo of Shilas is even one more step removed. She wasn't seeing a photo of Shilas. She wasn't seeing Shilas. She was seeing Radha and Krishna. And that was achieved by selfless service and following the same instructions and process that we've all been given. Hare Krishna. I mean, when I look at that clock, which is set according to daylight savings, I think, oh my God, it's almost 10. But when I look at my watch, it's almost 9, that's not so late. Well, I did want to finish these two verses because, I'll leave these for the next fortunate soul who gets to eat. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.